Hello, everybody. My name is Chris Coban, and today I will be interviewing Todd Lloyd. He has written a research paper called Could New York's Chinatown Survive Without the Gang Influence of the Tongs? Say hi, Todd.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on here. Appreciate it.
All right. So Todd, tell me about your paper.
Chris, I began my paper with researching a little bit of New York City's gang influence of the Tongs, mostly during the mid 19th century, going all the way into the early 20th century.
All right, so who exactly were the Tongs, and why were they in New York, and what's so important about them?
So the Tongs are. It's a gang of Chinese immigrants, which the Tongs originally began in China itself, and then when they came over to America, a lot of them, most of them, were in San Francisco at the time. But as you know, the completion in 1869 of the Transcontinental Railroad mm-hmm. meant that the Chinese immigrants were able to escape a lot of the segregation and discrimination by many in California and all throughout the West, so they were able to, travel the U.S. all the way over and to the East Coast, and a lot of them ended up in New York as a little Chinatown was forming.
All right, well, what brought them to New York?
New York was a big old city, you know, at the time where there weren't many cities that were obviously as large as it were. There was a lot of immigrants in New York, and so being different was not totally... wasn't a total crazy thing to see in New York, although the Chinese were still seen as far more different than, you know, the Irish or the Jewish immigrants or anything like that.
All right, Todd. So what exactly are you arguing for in your paper? What is your thesis?
I don't think that New York City's Chinatown would still be able to be as big and as vital and how it's just such a big thing. Like, you know, have you ever been in New York's Chinatown? I feel like it wouldn't be as much of a big deal if the Tongs hadn't kind of taken over Chinatown for a while, just because I just feel like there was a lot of people out for the Chinese at that time. And I mean, they essentially got ran out of California. So that could have happened, you know, anywhere, especially during the Chinese Exclusion Act.
So what entailed, the Tongs taking over Chinatown? Like, what did they do? Like, what made them so influential in the building and the longevity of Chinatown today?
Well, I think that could be retraced to back just because a lot of the racist and Orientalism viewed, toward the Chinese, a lot of them didn't have protections by the authorities. At this time, New York was very corrupt, and gangs ran a lot of things, so gangs were above the police, so, you know, without the Tongs, the Chinese people wouldn't be protected by the police. They maybe wouldn't get any loans. They acted as if they were a bank to a lot of the Chinese people. They were a really good safety net for a lot of the community. I mean, with that being said, they still ran many illegal operations and things. However, many of these illegal things weren't always illegal to them. In China, you know, a lot of the gambling and stuff, it wasn't legal at the time. And in New York, the Tongs, they organized some of the biggest little gambling hotspots. They opium dens and human trafficking, which were all three very illegal. And they led all other gangs in New York at the time for all three of those things.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the illegal things that they were doing, what other kind of illegal activities were they performing when they were at their heyday?
So yeah, as I mentioned, a lot of these Tongs were Cantonese Chinese people, and which means that they came from a region in China called Canton, which is the same province or the same city where the British began the opium wars with China. They used Canton as a port city, and they'd smuggle in opium into Canton from India, and so you know, they've had a long history of opium in this area, in this region. So they were able to bring a lot of it over to the Americans, who were not completely foreign to it, but a lot of them, it was a new thing, and they didn't have any other way to access it. So they were able to kind of, like, it was almost like, you know, like a little opium den, you know, above a shop or something. And a lot of the people, whether they're police officers, you know, criminals themselves, or businessmen, you know, they all wanted to, you know, go to the opium den at some point in the night.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think were, like, the ill effects, if any, that the gangs had on, like, their like, local, like, Chinese populace protectorate, I guess you could say?
That's a good question, because I would say, hands down, in my opinion, the number one thing would be the human trafficking. A lot of the times during this time, you know, the late 19th century and the early 20th century, they'd bring over young Chinese girls who were well underage, and they'd putting them into the human trafficking. You know, they'd kind of sell the girls as they'd prostitute them out and stuff. It, again, just kind of being I don't want to say a lot of them accepted being a second class citizen in this time, but a lot they definitely understood that they were giving. What they did is they provided services to others, whether that be opium dens, gambling centers, or prostitution. They worked for others a lot of the time, even if they were their own bosses, which I think really hurt their society as a whole. Even though short term, you know, they're doing whatever they can to make some money, but in the long term, I feel like it could have had a bad effect by making themselves seen as even lesser than they were, because you know, they didn't have a very good reputation at that time for other Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess I can see, like, it is hard to say, because it is a very vastly different part of American and like Chinese and just history in general. It was just a totally different, like, political and socioeconomic landscape than, like, we see today. However, would you think that overall they had a good effect on the community, like, being that they pretty much made their community, like, last, I mean, up until today? Or do you think it's possible that might be looking at the whole, like, situation through, like, rose-colored lenses? Like, they weren't that great back then, but, like, time goes on, and, like, you see more so, like, the good in them. So what do you think about that?
I think I wouldn't say it's so much the rose-colored lenses effect, because you know, they never really got a good rap throughout history until more recent times, because they they've really fought with each other, as other gangs were fighting, you know, the Dead Rabbits versus, you know, the Bowery Boys or this or that. There's many rivalries of different ethnic groups and different sets of people, while the Tongs, you know, they mostly fought against themselves, and you know, being like the Hip Sing Tongs and then the On Leong Tongs. I think that because they kind of kept to themselves in a sense, and that they just provided services to other portions of, you know, of New York and other groups and gangs, that they were able to kind of stay out of certain things, and so that they were able to, you know, prolong their everything, you know. It's for positive things that the gang provided a lot for people. It gave people a place to come. You know, Chinatown began to prosper because there was work, whether that's illegal or legal. You know, that's
it's opportunity in a time where there wasn't much opportunity. Yeah,
exactly. You know, it was, you know, working in gold mines over in California, and then on the Transcontinental Railroad, these people were really really discriminated against, and a lot of them
getting worked out and getting killed. Yeah.
Yeah, many of them lost their lives doing that, and it was just seen as, you know, they're taking jobs and this and that. So what the Chinese did was they took the jobs that the Americans didn't want. You know, they'd run cigar shops, they'd do, like, laundry mats, or, you know, before, like, the actual laundry, but, like, laundry stores. They'd, like, do things like that where, at the time, Americans thought were not awfully masculine jobs. They took this up because, you know, that's what they could do. And then on the side, obviously, they also did illegal things. But the gangs, more importantly, I feel like they did something deeper than just give them actual opportunity, but it provided a sense of, like, it allowed their culture to prolong. You know, there could be a second generation Chinese immigrant and he could have never been to China. However, he's well aware of his culture because he's surrounded by a group of people who they honor that and they keep that culture alive in their society.
All right. So to wrap this up, do you think that New York's Chinatown could have survived without the gang influence of the Tongs?
Chris, you know what? I think, I don't think so. I do not think that they could have survived or Chinatown could have been as successful as it has been, because, I mean, you can just see in California, you know, they even had Tongs in San Francisco and stuff, but it wasn't as concentrated as in New York's Chinatown. They, you know, they got ran out. There's, you know, as long as that they weren't, when they were together, they were stronger. And in New York's Chinatown, they were very together, and it gave them a sense of identity and self-worth and allowed their culture
to home, continue.
For sure.
All right. Well, Todd, thank you for joining me today. It was great to hear about your paper, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Chris. Appreciate it.